It's always a good morning to gather in the house of God. Always a blessing to meet with God's people. This morning certainly was another one of those times, and I greet you in Jesus' name. God bless you for your interest in the things of God, and that we can spend time together encouraging and refreshing us. Thought of the songwriter that wrote the song about safely through another week. I think it's that in one of those stanzas, one of the lyrics there says, day of all days is the best. And I trust that's what it is to us as we think of this. Anyways, for a message this morning, I felt moved to preach on the signs of the times. And a couple questions we might want to think about. Should we be concerned about the signs of the times and that we see? Is that something we should be concerned about? Should we take note of that? Well, you know, after all, we're busy building pallets, farming farms, building houses, going to market, delivering trailers, or whatever your occupation may be. You know, we're busy. We got a lot of things to do. We read in Scripture of a people that was minded like that too. Didn't pay no attention to signs, and we'll be looking at that Scripture in the message here. So, what signs do you see? Are you seeing any signs? Those are just some questions. As I think of what's happening around us, and I just get a little glimpse of it, I'm sure I miss probably lots of things. And there's probably things I see that I don't get the message that is meant to convey. What about the idea that after this COVID thing is all past, that things will be better? We're really going to see some good times. We're really going to see things coming back better than they were. I mean, I've heard that. I've read that. See that. Is that right? Is that something we should really be embracing and looking forward to? Things that are happening, is there any significance in those things? What about the recent deal peace brokerage between Israel and the United Arab Emirates? What about that? Something that just a few short years ago would have thought impossible. Is there any significance there? Or is that some, it really doesn't mean anything to us. There's nothing for us. Well, we're not involved in it. Of course we're not in many of these things that are happening. I trust not in the world and in surrounding us. But does that mean the people of God should not be receiving some message? Does that mean that we shouldn't be bringing in an awareness to us? These are some questions that we might want to think about. Think of world peace. And I suppose the peace deal between the nations, what's happening would say that's a step in that direction, world peace. Does that have any significance? Does that have any connection of what Paul writes there in 1 Thessalonians 5? And he says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come upon you as a woman with child. Just asking, is there any connection there and so forth? Well, I think we should be paying attention to some of those things. Now, I think there's a right way to relate to it. I don't think we look for signs in everything and anything we do. That's another dimension of signs. If we see a sign, if there's a sign or something, what's the right way to deal with it? Well, right here. Can you find something in Scripture? Is the Scripture, does it connect with what Scripture says? And even that, at the best, which of us has perfect interpretation? I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of confidence in you, brethren, but I'm not sure that it's quite to that degree that I think that you have perfect interpretation. I know I don't. And I will leave some room for you, brethren, as well, for the Christians as well. But I do think that I think it's important that we take notice. If I wouldn't feel that way, I wouldn't be preaching this message. I wouldn't be moved to preach this message. You know, God speaks to us in many ways. And I'm not going to go down the road in all the way he speaks, in all the way that he speaks to us. But I do believe that according to Scripture, that God speaks to his people in the 21st century. He has in the past, and he speaks to his people in the 21st century. I believe he speaks to them through things that happen. Call them signs or whatever you want. Things that we see happening. They're a fulfillment of Scripture. They are. Now, as I think of the signs of the times, it's difficult for me to disconnect or not connect that with the second coming of Christ, because I believe that the second coming of Christ is imminent. I believe it could happen any time. And I think it's directly connected with what's happening, what we're seeing in our generation. And my concern is, I mean, I want this message, I think our message should always be a message of exhortation, warning, but also encouragement. We want to encourage each other. And as we look at the end times and what the Bible has to say about things that will happen and the signs and wonders and so forth, not really that appealing. In fact, it isn't appealing to the flesh. It really doesn't appeal to the kind of life that I would like to have, you know, that my flesh would like to have. Really, it really doesn't. But if we're a new creature in Christ, as we talked about this morning, that's secondary somewhat. You know, what you and I may have to, what our journey, what our life's journey may consist of, it's secondary of just, you know, of how pleasant and how, what mortal man would desire to have. God has, throughout Scripture, we see that God has given signs to people. At different intervals, he's given signs and he's spoken to people through signs and so forth. And, mortal man has often, benefited from them. Sometimes they've been able to get the message, but many times they've missed the message. And I find it interesting, I find it strange, I find it ironic, or whatever word you want to use, that in Jesus' day, Christ was born into the earth, and as he came to walk among men. I think it's strange that the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people of Jesus' day, did not discern the signs of the times. There was clear scripture. There was black and white scripture given in regards to Christ's birth. For example, the prophet Isaiah, I think it's in chapter 7. I realize that was, 750 years approximately before Jesus was born, that the prophet spoke these words. But he spoke these words, he said, "Behold, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." So I don't look at that scripture today. It wasn't a gray scripture, it was a black and white scripture. And you know, you say, how could they miss it? How could they not? The people that studied the scripture, how could they not embrace that? And well, there it is. It's just so clear. Matthew refers to his gospel, of course, which had been after that, uses the same scripture and said, well, here it is. But obviously the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' time, did not get it. They missed it. And so you could ask the question, why or how? Or how did they miss that? How could they have missed a black and white scripture like that? Well, I'm not sure. But maybe it was because they were a lot like us today. Sometimes we think we have it all figured out. You don't? You don't think you have it all figured out sometimes? Well, we do. Sometimes we think we have it all figured out. And obviously they had their preconceived ideas of how this would all be. But in other words, they had it all figured out how this would be. So this scripture did not fit their thinking. It did not fit the signs that they were looking for. Well, I think it's a warning to us that we don't become too deeply set. We're not too deeply sure, absolutely sure that we know, well, yeah, this is what it means, this is what it means. Now, I know there's scriptures that, you know, are black and white too, and I'm sure. And I've been challenged myself by individuals that had views maybe that may have varied a little bit different from mine. I said, well, there it is. Why don't you believe it? And I want to. I certainly want to. But I also want to be careful. Certainly don't want to miss it. So, as a beginning scripture here in Matthew 16, we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew 16 coming to Jesus and says, tempting him and desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. They wanted a sign. Sign seekers. And this is what Jesus said. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. For the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Wasn't that amazing? And isn't it amazing today, as I think of that, how this fits in today? You know, most of us, we kind of watch the weather pretty close and the forecasts and, you know, what's the forecast for tomorrow and the next day and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We were pretty concerned about it and we we pay attention to that and build on that a lot of times. But you know, as I think of this scripture, it's like Jesus said here. He said, he called them hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the sign of the times. Well, you've ever thought about, isn't it sad for us, for our generation today, that we can, at least to a large degree, we can discern the face of the sky, but not the face of the times. I think we're probably any different from what they were then. You know, as I think with man, with all his technology, I'm referring to weather-related, with all his technology, with all his intellect, everything that's there, everything that man has today probably far exceeds of what they had when Jesus spoke those words. But isn't it sad that in spite of all that, in spite of modern man's intellect and all his technology, what has he become? He's only become more hedonistic and barbaric. Basically, it's what's happening. Has he become a better creature? Has he become more able to read God and the things that God speaks to us? We're referring to signs this morning. There's many ways that God speaks to us. But the message this morning is on that. So turning to Matthew 24. Now I think we're very familiar with this. I think any of us as Bible scholars, I think we're very familiar with Matthew 24. So Matthew 24, breaking in at verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, referring to Jesus, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, the answer that Jesus gave here is for us as well today. It's for this dispensation. It's not just, wasn't just for them. First thing he said is, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I'm Christ,' and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Stop reading there. So what do you think of all that? Is that something that the generation of today should be thinking about? Is that something that we see, or can we identify with anything there? Well, then if you go, I'm going to pick up a few more verses in this chapter. In verse 24, it says, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." False Christs and false prophets. Verse 5, remember, it says here, "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I'm Christ,' and shall deceive many." I'm not sure exactly how to interpret all of that, but I believe it's just simply saying that there's many that's going to profess to be Christians that are not. It's just about that simple. And they're going to be promoting false doctrines. false concepts. And, as verse 24 says, they're going to be able to show great signs and wonders. Now that brings in another aspect of signs of the times. I mentioned earlier that not every sign and everything that we see is to be embraced as biblical and something that is according to Scripture. So important that if the generation of sign seekers, like they were in Jesus' time, is that we take Scripture and we look at what Scripture says, and is this something that the Bible backs up? Is this something that's in accordance to truth? And is this something that's in accordance to Scripture? I expect that verse 24, when it mentions about false Christs and false prophets showing signs and great wonders, I expect that what it's saying, that their life, the things that's happening in their lives, if you were to follow their lives, and if you were to follow their walk of life and so forth, there would be many things that would raise questions if you looked at Scripture and say, is that how a Christian should live? I am not here this morning to pass judgment. Please understand. But, you know, just a few things that I remember even as a boy. Remember a few things about Oral Roberts. I don't know if you know anything about Oral Roberts University. Some of the things that were involved there. Oral Roberts was supposedly a great healer. He led healing campaigns. Supposedly did many, many things. That's just one example. But if you were to follow Oral Roberts' life or his son, I think if you were sincerely looking at the Bible, you would have had many questions. Another one that I remember quite well is Herbert W. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church. If you ever want any information, you look at that, and especially his son, Garner Ted Armstrong. These would be some things that, you know, they did. They were great preachers. Probably much better orators than any of us are. Captivating message and so forth. What was their life like? Was it a life that, again, we look at Scripture. Always. My point here is that we always compare Scripture with what we see and what's happening. And I think that's what it's saying there in verse 24, about showing great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible that you'll deceive the very elect. So, we're warned about those things. Don't be swept away about great signs and wonders. Great orators, people that can deliver dynamic messages and such like. Make sure that it's always in accordance to truth and the Word of God. And then, just as we go on here in Matthew 24, speaking about the end times and saying that, and signs and so forth. Now we're referring to the end times. And the signs that we see, remember, we're thinking about signs of the times. Verse 32, we have where Jesus said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, yea, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." What do you think about the fig tree today? ask the question, what stage is the fig tree in? I think Luke just refers to the Gospel of Luke. I think he refers to the trees when you see the budding and so forth. Well then, looking at verse 37, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I refer back to a question that I posed in the beginning, that should we be concerned about the signs of the times? Should we be paying any attention to the signs? After all, you know, we're farming, we're building, we got a lot of things to do, don't we? Well, obviously this is what was happening here. There's many other things that can crowd out anything else. If we're looking horizontal here, and we're looking at, you know, we're busy. We're a busy people. We have a lot of things going. We seemingly there's not enough time to get everything done. We just don't. We have a lot of time to look around and see what kind of signs we see, do we? Well, not from a carnal aspect, we don't. But what is really important? What really matters? And my concern is this morning, again, that we're a spiritually awake people. You know, we take time. Sure, we're here this morning. We're here today. It's a good day. We love getting together. But what about the rest of the days? What about the rest of the week? What is really important to us that, you know, with our busy schedule and with the cares and everything of life, do we actually overlook the weightier matters sometimes? I believe it's so easy to do that. I know it is on my part. You know, the days go so fast sometimes if you're busy and you're enjoying what you're doing, and it just, yeah, there just is. And, you know, maybe God is waving a sign at us that we just miss it. And so my concern this morning is, again, that we're a spiritually awake people, that we know the time. It says they knew not. What does that mean? Noah's day, it says they knew not. Well, I think they paid no attention. I think what it's saying is they simply paid no attention to what was happening. They didn't, you know, Noah preached a preacher of righteousness. And I believe Noah preached, and he preached to those people. And he tried to warn them. What did they do? They probably mocked him. They probably scoffers. Like Peter writes about, there'll be scoffers in the end times. What are scoffers? They mock. They scorn the message of God. They paid no attention. They knew not until it was too late. And this morning, none of us wants to be found in that position, that we knew not until it was too late. If you're a young person, or whoever you are, you know, pay attention to what's happening. Pay attention to what to God is speaking. Okay, just quickly in 1 Timothy, thinking about the signs of the time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is. This is where he speaks, refers to the end times as being perilous or dangerous times. It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then he goes on and gives a number of things there. I am so thankful that it doesn't say all shall depart. Aren't we thankful for that? It says some shall depart. Not everyone. And as you look at what it says here, if you look, and we're not going to read through it here for the sake of time, but read those scriptures. Be familiar with the signs of the times. When has there been time when this is being more fulfilled? That would be my question. I know that, you know, in the days of the pre-flood times and the times of Sodom and Gomorrah and such like, you know, things were very much like it's mentioned here. But God destroyed them too. It came to an end. And so will this world. This world will as well. But the warning here that's for us, that in the end times, what is it going to be like? And my question is to us this morning, what are we seeing? Does it sound like something we're seeing? Does it sound like the generation of the day? I think it does. I don't know what you think about what's happening. And we could talk all day about that. But as we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, yeah, this is where it says that the last days, perilous times, dangerous times. And then it again gives the description of what the generation will be like. What do you think? What are we seeing? In light of what's been happening? In light of what the generation of today is? Seems to me it's a very fitting description. 2 Peter 3:1 is where Peter says, I stir up your minds by way of your pure minds by way of remembrance. And then he goes on and he describes in the last days there'll be scoffers and so forth. I mentioned that already. And then in 2 Thessalonians, we have a scripture here. Again, referring to the last days and what they'll be like. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2. In verse 3, it says, let no man, he's referring about the coming of Christ. This is where I say it's hard to separate because I believe the coming of the Lord is imminent. But he says that we beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. And in verse 3 he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Then he goes down and he says, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, for that is worship. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You don't have to be familiar with everything that's going on out there and some of the claims that people are making. But it's shocking, it's frightening to say the least of what's happening. If you follow any news at all, and I'm not saying you should be following all the news. In fact, you're better off, a lot of it, not to be aware of it. But on the other hand, I don't think we as Christians should just stick our heads in the sand. You know, and just, we don't know anything that's going on. If that's the case, then, you know, God really can't speak to us through what's happening. I think when what we see it's happening, while it is frightening and it's alarming and it's shocking and so forth, but there's an other side to that. And I'd like to just talk a little bit about that in for the last part here, how we relate to the signs of the times. How should the people of God, how should we be relating to that? Well, I think, you know, I think there's a right, I know there's a right and a wrong way to relate to that. I don't think the right way is to to be so obsessed and absorbed with what the media is, what you're seeing and so forth. If you would listen to all that, we're human enough, we're mortal enough, you'd be afraid to step outside of the house and what's happening and so forth. I think that, as the scripture tells us, we should encourage one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. We have that scripture in Hebrews, I think it is. But the things we see, if we just look on the horizontal scope, just the things we see, they're certainly not that encouraging, and they're certainly not. I certainly don't embrace the idea that things are going to get better. It's not what the Bible says. Maybe not in this life, but there is a place and a time when things will be better. And that's what the people of God focus on. We need to encourage each other. So, it all depends where our focus is at this morning. We look at the things, the signs of the times. They speak to us. They do something for us. They bring an awareness. They bring an alertness. They bring a watchfulness. We set up and we note. We know that at the best, the Lord is going to return. And I don't know when. God has chosen not to reveal that. But in Luke chapter 21, as he gives talks about the end times there, one of the things that Jesus said there said, when these things come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I think that's the positive side of it for us this morning, the encouraging side of us. We're sitting here this morning, and in spite of all the things that have happened and are happening, there's a bright side for the people of God. We look up. What was the difference there? We could refer to different scenarios that we had in the Bible. One is a simple one, is everybody knows the story of David when he went out there. And says when the men of Israel saw the giant, they were dismayed. But David said, God will deliver him. Why do you, don't let any man's, he said, don't let any man's heart fail because of him. And I say to us this morning, don't let your heart fail because of what's happening. Please, don't let your heart fail. But lay hold on the grace of God. God has given us, I think you mentioned that, Steve, this morning, about the resources that we have at our hands. God has given us the resources there in Peter. Peter writes about those resources that we have. In Romans 8, when it refers to all the tribulations and things that the people of God have to face there and endure, what does it say? It says, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. We can be more than conquerors, not just, we made it through that day, and I don't know, tomorrow doesn't look any better. Listen, we have something to lay hold of. We have something to encourage us in. God has given us what we need. It may seem like the powers of darkness are prevailing, as if they're overcoming the kingdom of God. It may be. If we just look at things that, people often, they say, where is God? If God, I've been asked that, if your God is so great, why then is unrighteousness? Why is these things prevailing? Is that not a valid question? People would like to know. Again, the scripture has the answer, because it's the hour of the enemy. It's not that God is not all-powerful. But in this dispensation, man can choose what he wants to do. And obviously, man is turning his back on God and is choosing his own way. That's why. It's not, if you look at scripture, it's not hard to see why it's happening what it is, because man is simply turning his back on God. It may seem like darkness is the greater power, but this morning, I remind us again that the kingdom of God will ultimately triumph. The kingdom of God is an unstoppable kingdom. All the nations in the past, where are they today? The Bible would ask that question. Where are the kings? And where's the, you know, Alexander the Great is just one. Only a few short years and it was over. Where are the kingdoms of the past? They're gone. But the kingdom of God is unstoppable. It will ultimately triumph. Jesus said in John 16, in the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This morning, such a blessing that we can be overcomers. And I believe I'm talking to a group of overcomers. Now, don't be overconfident. We're not home yet. Like the songwriter says, we're not home yet. But God's kingdom will ultimately triumph. I've referred different times here already. I think I have anyways to Revelation. Just the contrast between Revelations 13 and Revelations 14. Revelations 13 to me is one of the more fearful scriptures in the Bible. That's where it talks about this beast and all that, you know, all, it's a terrible picture there. But then, you know, God was showing John this. But then in chapter 14, it begins with, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in Mount Zion. I cannot say enough about that. What that simply means is, you know, God shows us, gives us a picture sometimes of things that happen. But then he says, now look at this. And that's basically what he was doing to John. He showed him there in Revelation 13, a fearful chapter. How can we ever with that? But then he said, now look at this. The Lamb stood in Mount Zion. And to me, that is, God will ultimately triumph. Don't ever lose sight of that. Revelation 21:7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We have an eternal inheritance this morning that outshines anything that anyone, the kingdom of darkness, or anyone else, the world with all its wealth and all its pleasures, can never offer us anything that even comes close to that. Lay hold on those things. Romans 8:18, Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with that which shall be revealed in us. Anything that you and I may go through, and we don't know what we'll have to face yet. The handwriting's on the wall. But it's not worthy to compare. You know, sometimes we tend to compare, well, is this worth that or is that worth that? Let me tell you this morning, anything in this life that we may have to go through, endure, it's not worthy. Don't compare it. Don't measure it. It's not even worthy of that. It's out of this world. Irregardless of how difficult life is. And it's difficult at times. And we may have only seen the tip of the iceberg. I don't know. But let's not worry about that. I think of the words of the songwriter. Song that I love so well. I don't think we sing it here. But it goes something like this. As I rest at the close of a long weary day, there's a golden tomorrow just over the way. I just love that. And I like to stay close to that. There's a golden tomorrow, beloved, just over the way. So don't let these things that are happening and what you're seeing and what all we have, don't let you that move you away from the hope of the gospel, because there's an inheritance that's out of this world and there's a golden tomorrow just over the way. The best is yet to come. Let's kneel for prayer.